You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If you happen to miss that interview with Hugh Jackson, we'll have video of it for you at clevelandbrowns.com, the Browns mobile app. Of course, it'll be in the podcast for our show. Matt, that was your first opportunity to sit down and talk with Hugh Jackson. What did you take away from that?
Well, I can say, you know, you and I both had probably multiple more questions in our head that we'd have answers to.
He's a busy man, though.
And it was an abbreviated interview because the man brought his cell phone with him, probably because either calls or texts were going to be coming through, you know, about former interviews that he's already had or future interviews that he's got lined up. So the man is on a mission. And you could tell that, you know, the way in which he came in, he gave us his time. But in regards to the words that came out of his mouth, I like it. I like everything. I like the way he comes off. He does not look at this job like it's an organization that was 3-13 last year. He does not look at this job like it's a franchise that has struggled as significantly as it has for the last 15 to 16 years. It's like clean slate. He looks at this job the same way he said in his press conference he's going to look at every individual on this roster. And I like that about him. And so the Johnny Manziel stuff or any inter-locker room stuff that came on or how much someone – all that's irrelevant to him. You know, let him read it, see it, and understand it fresh and new to Hugh Jackson, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, because otherwise everything else is irrelevant. Now, and he'll have to catch up on some things. And then, you know, I'm sure the individuals of power that he'll collaborate with, Sashi Brown in particular, because he's been here for the last 3 years – you know, we'll bring him up to speed on how Sashi thinks and weighs certain situations with certain players. But I love the fresh mentality that he has and the I don't know what word you put, but the persona and the swagger and charisma, as he said he wants in a quarterback, he has as a head coach and a guy who's not satisfied with just being ordinary.
No, certainly not. And I think that we will chase greatness. That's what he says. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Hey, Dino.
Yes, sir.
What did you think of Hugh Jackson there with an opportunity to kind of get there and be, you know, not a press conference setting, get to hear from Hugh?
Yeah, and I like the non-press conference. You can just kind of sit back and really have a conversation. Couple things stood out, and in fact, I was doing some tweeting as we were going at ESPNCleveland.com on our Twitter site. You know, what you asked him, I think, Nathan, what characteristics he's looking for in a quarterback, because obviously that's going to be so much of the discussion. You know, there are the physical intangibles, but he said, look, he's got to have charisma. He's the face of the franchise.
Yep.
He's got to be the leader. And you get an idea of what he's going to be looking for from whoever the quarterback is, be it somebody who's already here or drafting, free agency, whatever. And it's interesting to just get his mindset on what is important to him. It's not just the arm talent, as he says, but it's the leadership and the charisma.
Of course, and the other thing that he said in other interviews, I've heard him say, it's got to be someone who is literally obsessed with football, who wants to watch tape, who just constantly is working and getting and trying to be the best he can be at his craft, which is why I asked him, because as he pointed out, the intellectual part of being a quarterback now and the ability to process information and the amount of information that must be processed on the fly is as important as anything for a quarterback right now in the NFL.
I agree. And the one thing that I don't believe, maybe only Josh McCown here on this, you know, here with the Cleveland Browns, you have to force feed that information into your brain from the second you turn the page from the game that you just played. This is in season. Into the information that what you learned from that last game, you know, both good and bad, and then as you flip that information into understanding what the next team you're going to play is doing, that's what Tuesday is spent on, and then Wednesday you learn more about that team, but then you start to learn about yourself. What is Hugh's plan going to be offensively, and your ability to absorb that, take it to the field? It's not all going to be perfect. You refine that on Thursday, right? Some of it, and then, but you also install more. So it's the constant absorption of information. And in particular, there's a reason why, and I've always said this, that quarterbacks deserve to make the most money of any position in the National Football League.
Absolutely.
And this is not just because, you know, as you mentioned to him, the 2009 to 2015 era of growth. I think the amount of information, the amount of work that they do, 90%, 95% of the time compared to other players is double what another player puts into their craft in allowing them to go out and play very well on a Sunday.
Just go read that Monday Morning Quarterback article about Carson Palmer. And here's an interesting one. Number one in the NFL in getting the ball out quickly this year, Tom Brady. Number two, Phil Rivers. Number three, Andy Dalton. Number four, Ben Roethlisberger. Number five, Carson Palmer. Number six, Drew Brees. Those two guys are all pretty good. Now, the other aspect, you could say, yes, well, at the top, Cam Newton is in the longest. Why? He buys time with his legs. Russell Wilson does the same. And Aaron Rodgers this year, all he's done is try to extend plays. Pretty much every time he gets the ball, he's trying to extend plays and move around. But Brady, Rivers, Dalton. And Dalton this year got it out at 2.41 seconds under Hugh Jackson. And one of the reasons when I talked to him about that, one of the things that I thought was a big difference for Andy Dalton was how quickly he was able to get the ball out under Hugh Jackson. Under Hugh Jackson, he's averaged 2.4 seconds. Prior to Hugh Jackson, Andy Dalton was getting out in the mid-2.6s. So that Hugh Jackson coming in and taking over as the coordinator for him has massively transformed the way that Andy Dalton has played the position, and I think that's been one of the important things and important changes for him, and I think that's something we're going to want to see here.
No, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, the avid fan, when you look at Andy Dalton, when you have the luxury of having a guy like A.J. Green, it helps. And I think Hugh, as he said, wants to accentuate the skills of what players do well. And I think that's where, as you mentioned, having Josh Gordon potentially coming back to this football team, a guy that can get down the field, Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Austin Davis. If you have done the work and understand pre-snap what coverage they're in, you're going to drop back, look left to just get the safety tipping, and throw it as far as you can to Josh Gordon running down the sideline, as Andy Dalton does to A.J. Green time and time again.
Make it so, Wilhelm. Make it so. Larry in Elyria, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Nathan, man? How you guys doing?
Fantastic, man. How are you?
Great. The philosophy team mentioned about he likes the stretch. Also, the big wide receiver. Can we go to a more of a stout type running instead of the zone blocking?
We will. Didn't you hear him? I asked him that. He prefers the power running. That's what he's going to do, is run it.
And you know what that says to me is Joel Bitonio, when he comes back healthy at left guard, or Cam Irving, or John Greco at right guard, or wherever, you know, the guards have to start getting ready to move. Because that power running scheme, there's pullers, there's trap plays that allow you to get directly downhill sooner than later, and not allowing a running back to be, you know, have choices like the zone run scheme does.
Right. Hey, get downhill, and that's where Crow excelled.
Yeah.
And you know what? I love the challenge. Crow, I've seen you do it, man.
Yeah.
Bring it consistently. What did you say that coaches value more than anything in the NFL?
Coaches?
Yeah. Consistency.
Right. Absolutely.
Consistency.
Yeah. And also one little subtle note that it's – I asked the question, have you spoke to players? But how about when we asked about a player, he immediately knew what game Crow had his best game in?
San Francisco.
So what do you think Hugh Jackson's been doing for the last 48 hours as he's also probably interviewed – a dozen, if not more, candidates to join his staff. Evaluate that tape.
Evaluate.
He is
yep.
doing what he's going to expect from his players already.
It is. I like him. I like the presence that he brings. Mike in Youngstown. Mike, how are you?
Good, guys. Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Just, you know, listen, one thing, it's like when you hear Hugh talk, it's like it's so refreshing. I mean, you know, you guys could, not you guys, because you're not listening to yourself, but, you know, I can even hear the enthusiasm in your voices when you're just carrying on a conversation with him. I mean, he just seems like that type of a person, but, you know, I just wonder your thoughts. I keep hearing people say, you know, how far away we are. You know, a lot of it, I think, hinges on, you know, Joe Thomas staying and him wanting to stay, which could lead to a lot of the other people staying on the offensive line. If Gordon does get cleared to come back, you know, and then we hope he stays clean, you know, we got a good receiving core. We got, which we have to add one, but we have we need to add linebackers. But I don't see us being that far away with a person that could come in and get the best out of his players that I think he's going to be able to.
That's what everybody we've talked to says he could do, was get the best out of his players. And I think that is incredibly important, the ability to get the best out of your guys.
And that was my next question. You know, as I said, he got cut short because, you know, businesses to put together this staff, you know, ahead of the curve, having been hired now, you know, almost 72 hours ago, and his ability to get the guys that he wants and make them a priority here in Cleveland and hope they feel the same way. That was where my next question was going with him, as we heard Chad Johnson and so many people talk about, you know, who he is as a person and the best he brings out in individuals and the leaders that he wants individual players to become. I wanted to head and dive into this locker room. You know, what are you going to do? Because I don't think decisively in the past 2 years here in Cleveland, there's been that guy, that authoritative figure, you know, that guy that everybody's scared of. And I know it's repetitive and I keep saying it. Every team has one. Every good team has one. You know, and in some cases, maybe it's not, you know, the thuggish, authoritative guy. But if Tom Brady walks up to you as a practice squad player or an offensive lineman or a defensive guy and said something to you, do you not think that your ears are open and attentive to every word that he says? If he's taking his time to do so, absolutely. Can that same be said about Joe Hayden? Can the same be said about Joe Thomas? Can the same be said about Carlos Dansby or Randy Starks? I don't know. And I would say I don't think so.
It would be it is that's the big challenge. And Andrew Whitworth, the quote that I had from Andrew Whitworth, that's what he talked about with Hugh Jackson. He forces his best players to be leaders. And I think when you talk about Tom Brady or you talk about Phillip Rivers or you talk about Drew Brees or you talk about Aaron Rodgers, when it's your quarterback who sets that tone, Peyton Manning, who sets that tone for your organization, that's when you're, I think, going to be very successful. And that's why it's important to get that quarterback. And as he talked about, the personality of that quarterback, of that leader, is extremely, extremely important. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford's girl Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's bring in our producer, Dino, for a little Friday forecast. Dino.
Yes, it's divisional playoff weekend.
Yes.
All right, Friday forecast will start with
number one.
All right, gentlemen.
An appropriate way to start, if I may say so myself.
I think so. In the past 30 years, no Browns coach has lasted more than 5 years.
Wow.
Give us one reason why Hugh Jackson will change that trend and last longer.
Jimmy Haslam. And to expound on that, I just believe the mentality associated with where Jimmy Haslam is at in promoting Sashi Brown, in bringing in Paul DePodesta, hiring Hugh Jackson allows them, to me personally, at minimum 3 to 4 years to see this through, to get it where they all think it should be. And I would think with success, betting on Sashi Brown, betting on Hugh Jackson, based on what they're saying right now and the definitive process that Jimmy went through to get Sashi promoted and to go get the guy that they wanted in Hugh Jackson, that extra year or two is just going to come through their successes.
All right, I'm going to say it because I think they're going to win. That's why he's going to be here. I think that Jimmy Haslam has put together what he thinks are the best practices. He's put the best and brightest from an intellectual standpoint, from a football standpoint, and he's putting them all together with the goal of winning. And I believe Hugh Jackson is a former NFL head coach who knows what it takes to win in this league, but more importantly, knows exactly what it takes to win in this division. You've got Sashi and Paul trying to find those little competitive advantages wherever we can, and I believe he will be here for more than 5 years because he will win. That's the only reason, by the way, that anybody could be here
Correct.
More than 5 years.
Number two.
All right, we heard you guys make your picks a little earlier with the kid. Which road team, though, of the four has the best chance to get a win this weekend?
I believe the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Have the, just because, you know, what, 11 in a row, they're running hot. They're going to get, you know, a demoralized New England Patriots team that are coming off a week of rest. And, you know, but with injuries, the resources aren't what they were when they were undefeated earlier in the season. And for that reason, I believe the Chiefs have the advantage.
I'm going to go with those smart folks out there in the desert of Las Vegas, Nevada. And they think that Seattle has the best chance to win this weekend as a road team, and so do I. However,
that's why you picked them, right?
That is why I picked them. I think it's Seattle and Kansas City, and then a distant third would be Pittsburgh. And the only reason I say Pittsburgh is because it sounds like Brock Osweiler might not be able to play. So if they could somehow knock Peyton Manning out.
Who's left?
I think the guy's name's Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, something like that.
He's that guy that I've never heard of.
Right. And then I would say Green Bay is fourth. Which is hard and crazy to say with Aaron Rodgers, but now no Davante Adams. Their line is so beaten up, and Arizona just has it all. Sam Shields is out in that game, too, their top corner.
Yeah, Sam, he's questionable, I think. And then they've got the Bakhtiari kid on the offensive line is probable.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, guys. Number three. While the Browns have Hugh Jackson in place, Chip Kelly going to San Francisco, Jim Caldwell will stick around in Detroit, Ben McAdoo promoted in New York, or Dirk Cutter in Tampa Bay. Which of those four has the best chance to succeed as the head coach of their respective teams?
I'm going to go with Ben McAdoo and the New York Giants. I believe that's a division that is up for grabs, you know, with Washington, you know, coming from behind and winning that division. I believe he's got the one that's got the by far and away franchise quarterback. He's got, you know, young talent. And I think if he can just go all in and either, you know, revamp that defense or go get the coaches to install the right defense, 9-7 in that division is probably going to be good enough to win.
I'm going to say the guy who finished up 6-2. Over his last eight games, I like the talent there. They've got another draft to add to that talent. I think Jim Caldwell in Detroit is going to be successful. I look, so he's been a coach for two seasons.
I don't count him.
Three and a half, so that's four
Gibbs
half
put him
seasons.
On the list. You have to count him.
That's four half seasons. His four half seasons, he's got a 2-6-2s and 1-5-3, and then he had one that was a total debacle. But so he's I like Jim Caldwell. If I had to rank him, though, I'd go Jim Caldwell. I'd go Ben McAdoo. Then I'd go Dirk Cotter, and then I'd say Chip Kelly. And Chip Kelly could just as easily be number one as number four, but I just think with his personality and the strength of Trent Baalke's personality, that has just the opportunity to just blow up spectacularly.
Someone had to be humbled in that process.
And how long does that humbling last?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
That's the question.
It has to last at least one season. Next offseason, we'll be talking about what came of that first year.
Yes, we will.
That's going to be, talk about soap opera. That's going to be real interesting to keep an eye on. And finally, here on the Friday forecast. Number four. Okay, I want the two of you to give me your quarterback confidence poll for this weekend. To use, and again, I have to explain Jason Gibbs' logic here on counting things. From number one would be your best, the most confident you have in the quarterback. Number eight, the worst.
Confidence in the quarterback. As of right now, as the Cleveland Browns sit, I have, I would say, a 3 in confidence in the quarterback because I believe that a healthy Josh McCown.
Wilhelm.
Right.
Gibbs already crossed you up.
Yes, he did.
This is how he wrote the question. Give us your quarterback confidence poll for this weekend. Rate your guys from number one to number eight.
Eight remaining teams. I'm going to say.
That's why we got to explain these things.
That's why. Higher or lower with Gibbs. Gibbs has always confused me. Okay, so I would say.
Higher or lower.
My confidence, at one being the highest, I'm going to go with my confidence with Cam Newton. And I'm going to go with the kid saying 15-1 and what they've done. So I'll go one. I will go two. Might actually be with the team that they're playing in Russell Wilson and his ability to win football games in the playoffs. Three, I would go with Thomas Brady.
You have more confidence in those two guys in the same over Tom Brady?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And under the circumstances,
I think you have more confidence in their weapons around them than you do necessarily
that counts,
the quarterback.
Doesn't it? Can't do it all by themselves. Four. I will go with Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer. I should have had Carson Palmer higher, but I'll have him at four. Okay, and we'll see how that prevails. Five. I will go with Aaron Rodgers because he, a lot like Tom Brady, will have to carry that team offensively. Next, I will go with is Big Ben gonna play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll go Ben Roethlisberger next. Then I will go Alex Smith. and last with whoever is playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Peyton Manning. All right, here we go. I'm going to go number one. Is this confidence in just in the quarterback himself or his ability to win this week? What?
I think it's just confidence in the quarterback himself.
Number one, Tom Brady.
Okay.
Number two, Carson Palmer.
I went with the latter of the two.
Number three, Cam Newton. Number four, Aaron Rodgers. Number five, Ben Roethlisberger. Number six, Russell Wilson. Number seven,
really?
Number seven, Alex Smith. Number eight, Peyton Manning. You think Wilson's low?
I like Russell Wilson,
but again, we are talking for me just quarterbacks. I do like Russell Wilson. I like his game, but I also watch the game he had against St. Louis. And honestly, when you go back and watch that Minnesota game, Teddy Bridgewater played better in that game than Russell Wilson did. So
you have Rodgers at three, you said?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or four.
Yeah, you had Rodgers at four.
Four. I had Cam three. I went Tom, Carson, Cam.
Okay. All right.
It's a good group, and it goes back to the point. You got to have a quarterback, okay? Alex Smith, by the way, has won, I believe it's 11 games in a row, has the fewest turnovers in the NFL, and we ranked him seventh, okay?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and we ranked him eighth. Now he's kind of like...
We are in the postseason now.
The artist formerly known as Peyton Manning, who's still inhabiting Peyton Manning's body, but yeah.
What's it going to take for you for Alex Smith to no longer be thought of as just a game manager, you know, just kind of not make turnover. He's got to win a Super Bowl.
He's got to make a big play. I was at the playoff game that was 49ers-Saints at Candlestick Park, where I think it ended up being like a 38-35, and he made the big throw to Vernon Davis that won the game. Yep. He had a quarterback keeper end around for like 40 yards for a touchdown. He made all the plays in that one. But I just think that's the perception of him. He always has the lowest yards per air attempt or air yards per attempt. So he gets that rap as a check down guy. But look, he's done a very good job with Jeremy Maclin. He's done a good job with Travis Kelce. He is not being asked to open up that offense.
No.
Just like Teddy was not asked in Minnesota. When they are asked, both of them have proven that they can do it. So I think he just needs to win some playoff games. And he won one, but I don't think anybody gives them any credit for beating that Texans team.
This will be a lot different, though, if he pulls the upset.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that will start to shift his narrative without question. And it goes back to, and what we were talking about earlier with Julius, you know, you can't force it, and I agree with him wholeheartedly on that. But when you say you have so many other needs, there are no other positional needs or some of other positional needs in my mind that trump a quarterback need, provided the right answer is out there for you. You could say, if you believe a franchise quarterback's out there and you could say, well, I need this, I don't care at all. Get that quarterback and then worry about filling
in
those needs.
I agree, and I think if Jared Goff is liked by you, Nathan, and if Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, and our top talent evaluator, who is yet to be determined, come together and they all spit out Jared Goff. Jared Goff's who we're going with.
Then you take him.
But if two come out on somebody else and even Sashi's hard on Jared Goff and he's got the final say, but Hugh doesn't like him the way that Sashi likes him, and our top talent evaluator has him lower or someone else instead of and said this is the can't miss guy. Sashi Brown's decision and his pay grade is to be able to decipher that information, lean on Paul DePodesta and his processes to figure out who we draft number two. That's just what we got to do.
Indeed. Yes. I agree. Let's go. I'm excited.
Of course you are.
I am always excited.
This has been a fun week for you.
It's been, for honest to God, for
two
me,
weeks.
From the day that's
yeah.
Yes. It's for me, it's been great.
Steelers game? What Steelers game? It was everything thereafter that was exciting.
Ah, indeed it was. Indeed it was.
Johnny who?
Huh? Billy?
Where was he? Who knows? Who cares?
Where? It's like a Top Gun when he's like, where'd he go? Where'd who go? All right, we'll be back wrapping it up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Friday, getting down on Friday, almost quitting time here on CBD. Before we get to our final thoughts, let's go to Mike in Akron. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, it's Jim in Akron.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jim in Akron, how are you?
Hey, I'm excited about the Hugh Jackson hiring. You know, the most important question we need to have answered is our quarterback, obviously.
Yep.
And I have faith that, a guru like Jackson is going to get it done, even if it's not the second pick. If the guy out of Cal is the answer, then I'm sure he's going to pick him. But if he's not, would it be that bad for us to trade down a little bit? I know, we love our draft picks in Cleveland, but I think, I'm not saying go down in the 20s, but if you can go down and stay in the top 10, maybe you get, maybe Paxton Lynch, slides in the top 10, and maybe you can get another number one next year, maybe a number two to fill, some of the needs we need on our defense, maybe that receiver, but ultimately, if Goff is the answer, I'm sure they'll pick him number two.
If any quarterback, and it doesn't have to be Goff, they're the professionals. If anybody believes that a quarterback is the answer, in my opinion, you take him.
Yeah, and I think in hearing Hugh at his press conference and of course spending some time with him here today, the one thing that I can say, because he is, the offensive coordinator, quarterback guru, whatever you want to call him, I believe he's going to be very decisive and be one way on someone.
Yeah.
He's not going to be 50-50. He's not going to, is it Josh? Is it Johnny? Is it this? Is it, he's not going to have, it's going to be, it's this. I think everything's going to be very cut and dry with Hugh. And I think that the Cleveland media, I think the Dog Pound are going to get used to a guy telling it how it is, finally. And when it ain't good enough or he doesn't have it, he will vocalize that.
Yes.
Or when it's not good enough from the team, he's obviously going to point the fingers at himself, which is easy to do as a coach because you represent that team. But then guys are going to be held accountable. If we swing and we miss, you've got to be held accountable to that swing and a miss.
Absolutely.
But at least we know that the regime and the process was all in on whoever we pick or whatever we do if it is, in fact, trading back.
Agreed. And this is what I'd say that caller is. If first, priority one, if the quarterback that you believe is a franchise quarterback is there, you take him. Number two, if there isn't a franchise quarterback there and you think there is a stern cutoff in talent and there is a can't-miss building block blue-chip prospect there, you stay there and take him. If not, then you could trade back. But that's the way I look at it. You got to get a foundational piece with this number two pick. All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great week. And remember, if you missed the Hugh Jackson interview, it will be available on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. For Dave DiNatale and Matt Wilhelm and Kiad, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Have a great weekend. It's a Hugh day.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.